Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on the call. I think it's really important for all of us to remember, and the American Pediatrics Association and the National Sciences and, national groups, but more importantly, parents know that children suffer when they're out of the classroom. And there is no doubt that there's harm being done the longer our kids are out of the classroom, and that's why we need to have in-person learning in schools, and that's why we're working with every district across this state to do everything we can to get kids back in school. We got to do it safely. We're one of the only states in the country that are providing 80,000 kits to teachers to make sure they have masks and PPE, that they can sanitize their classrooms, but kids need to be in school, and it's not just, there are a lot of kids who can learn at home in a safe environment, but we got to look out for kids that get nutrition at school, that get mental health services, that don't live in a stable environment, that kids that are in the inner city, kids that don't have access to technology that allows them to learn distance. There is a lot of reasons why we need to get kids back in school in the midst of this, and that's what we're trying to do. All but two school districts in the state have committed to in-person learning, and we're working to try and get those districts to do the same as soon as possible.
There's a lot of people that are attacking you for wanting to have sports come back. One of those is a columnist, Jeff Calkins, who says, quote, "We're shutting down high schools, but not high school football. Shame on us. Of all the shameful decisions made by all our feckless leaders during this pandemic, you will have a hard time finding any more disgraceful than the decision by Governor Bill Lee to allow high schools to resume playing football." Again, this is sports columnist Jeff Calkins wrote this today. Your reaction to that, and I would argue that's not what you were advocating for, is making people get sick. You're saying it's time to get back to doing things in a responsible manner. Your reaction?
First of all, we're not shutting down high schools. I'm hoping that high schools are open all across this state and that kids go to high school. But secondly, what I'll say is there is a right approach to COVID-19, which is with us. It's present. It's a public health crisis. It's a pandemic. People have lost their lives and will continue to do so. Regardless of what we do, we can minimize that and mitigate that if we make the right steps, which I believe that we're making across this state. And there are ways to both go to a football game safely, both go to high school safely, go to the grocery store safely, go to work safely, to keep our economy moving forward, and at the same time, mitigate the spread of COVID-19. That's why we have a Tennessee pledge. That's why we have very strict and clear guidelines from the TSSAA on how to go back to football. It's not the way it used to be. That's why we make accommodations for COVID-19, but not in such a way that we shut our state down and we shut our lives down. And that's what we're trying to do in this state. And I think that's the way forward. That's what we have, livelihoods and lives, both of those are incredibly important, and that's what we're trying to maintain here.
When you see columnists, say things like basically implying that you're shameful, that your decisions are made by being a feckless leader, that you are, it's disgraceful that you did this. Is there any part of you that's trying to harm kids? And I'm not joking asking that. I mean, you read these columns from people like Jeff Calkins that are just coming after you, acting like you're wanting people to die, saying that you're disgraceful, that you're feckless, that you're shameful. You don't make any money off kids playing sports. Let's be clear. You're trying to get kids back in school and learning in a responsible way and playing sports in a responsible way.
Yeah, so a couple things about kids' health. Number one, there's no argument that kids, the effects of COVID-19 on children are not at all the same that they are on adults. I believe that in the United States, 39 kids have lost their lives to COVID under the age of 18. This is a, and by the way, we lose about 500 to kids to the flu every year. This virus does not impact children the same way it does as adults. That being said, you know, our reported child abuse cases have gone down 25% since the COVID-19, and that's not because child abuse has gone down. That's because people are not reporting, and that are teachers, which are the number one reporters of child abuse. Teachers are not reporting child abuse. Children are being hurt as a result of not being back in school. Now, regarding football, you know what else I believe? I think that parents are more capable of making decisions about their children than the government is. I think that the decisions that we have made here, we've given every student, every parent, every family in the state of Tennessee the option to give their children in-person learning. And if they don't think that's the best way for their kids to learn, and they don't feel like it's a safe environment, every child in Tennessee through the Tennessee Department of Education has been given an online option. We provide online and technology. We've spent $50 million on technology for districts across the state so that if there are families who don't think it's safest to put their kids in, then they can do it remotely. This is about parents choosing for their children what they think is best and not the government choosing what should happen.
Let's talk about winners and losers real quick. And my guess from me is Governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee. There are quite a few businesses that the owners have reached out to me personally when we said we were going to be having you on, literally begging for me to tell you that they're going to lose their businesses because Judge McCullough ruled against their reopening of their businesses, which are deemed 50 plus 1% bars, right? They were given their licenses originally. And when they were given their licenses, if they serve 50% or more alcohol from their total sales, they were deemed in a different category. The current numbers they're doing are all more food than alcohol. They're trying to stay afloat. They're trying to survive. These, quote, limited service restaurants were ordered to close on July 8th. They were allowed to serve takeout food and alcohol. However, Bill Street restaurants were chosen as winners, basically. They were exempted from closure because they're, quote, in a historic district. And they're saying, this is unfair. You have these bars that are more bars than we are on Bill Street that are allowed to open because they're exempt. We are trying to survive, and this U.S. District Court judge denied the request for a temporary restraining order by this group of restaurants, and they're now saying to you, Governor, is there a way to get them quickly a new designation, a temporary designation, so that they can reopen and not lose their entire life's work? All of these bars that reach out to me serve food. They're not trying to even operate like a bar right now. They're just trying to survive. And I say this because I talked to one owner today who literally was in tears. He said, with this judge ruling this way, he said, Ben, I will lose what I've had and worked for more than 30 years. Please ask the governor and the legislature for help. We are not getting it locally.
Yeah, first of all, as a former business owner and as a business guy who's now a governor and who has been through the agony of watching businesses suffer, I just want to express my concern for small business. And we have, as you know, the way we approached this in 89 of our counties, we let health departments driven by the state make decisions. In six of those counties, they're driven by municipality health departments. It's the way health departments are set up in the state. And that's why local decisions there around businesses, bars, restaurants are made outside of the decisions of the state. I will say, however, this particular situation you're talking about was flagged to our office yesterday, looking at legal options for us to try to make accommodation for folks that are just trying to stay in business. We're looking at how that works. Some of these things are complicated legally, but at the end of the day, I've tried really hard to be a governor who lets business people stay in business. People who are trying, and that's why we created the Tennessee Pledge. Look, keep your business open. Just do it in a way that's safe. Anything we can do, that's why we, you know, when we got coronavirus relief funds, the first thing we did was spend $200 million pushing it out to small businesses, especially those that were closed throughout the beginning of the pandemic. So I understand this particular issue. It is a local one. It's incredibly local when it comes to historical districts and a local judge. But it was flagged in my office yesterday. We're taking a look at it.
Well, I know that many of those businesses, all of them listening right now, they sincerely say thank you. And they're hoping that one of them said, if we can just get a different designation, even temporary, I will play by whatever rules they give me. Just let me open my restaurant back up. Let me open my place of business back up because they can't survive much longer. Lastly, Governor, I know there's a new mass PSA. Tell everybody about that and what it's trying to accomplish before I let you go.
You know, I just got off a call with a group of folks talking about masks, and I was